Christian Crusaders warmly welcomes each of you today. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
God's word teaches that all people are precious and important to Him. Are we losing sight of this great truth? We'll talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God, you know that we cannot withstand the dangers which surround us and the false teachings that are ever finding their way into our heads. Strengthen us in body and spirit, so that with your help, we may be able to overcome the weaknesses that our sin has brought upon us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, Beginning with verse 12, here our Lord says, "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep, and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost." Let me read that last verse for you once more. In the same way, your heavenly Father is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
I was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you were baptized to see your life unfold. I was there when you were but a child with a faith to suit you.
Friends in Christ, a 60-year-old woman visited with me one day as we sat in a doctor's office waiting for our appointments. As she looked at me, she said, "Aren't you Pastor Larson?" And I replied, "Yes, I am." She said, "When our daughter went to the University of Northern Iowa, she often attended your church, and we would come and be with her too." "I'd like to ask you a question," she said. "What has happened to our old world?" To which I replied, "Well, why do you ask?" And she said, "I believe that we are falling apart morally and spiritually." And then she went on to tell me about her own family. She said, "We have a granddaughter who lives with a man. They have a nice little girl, but they're not married. And they have no intentions of getting married in the near future. You see, she said, that's not right, according to the Bible. And God's word does not change. To which I replied, I agree. Then she went on to say, another relative has a child who does not attend Sunday school. His parents don't want to force him to go for fear that he will have bad memories of the church when he is an adult and will never attend a worship service. She said, in my mind, and as I have been taught from the Word of God, children are to honor their father and their mother. And the father and the mother decide if the child is going to go to Sunday school or not, not the child. And I had to say, I agree. And then she got a little bit more confidential, drew closer to me, and almost in a whisper, she said, you know, she said, I read something in our denominational paper. I read that a committee has been appointed to study whether or not we should ordain practicing homosexuals. Now, she said, I know that God loves the homosexual as well as the heterosexual, but I don't think that this is a place for them in the pulpit. I said, well, certainly there are many references in the Bible that would back up your statement. She said, you know, the Bible doesn't change. And I don't care how many committees they appoint. This simply is not right, according to God's word. She was a very, very uptight person as far as the world was concerned. But then she asked me the question, what's causing all of this? What has caused this abrupt change of thought as far as our living is concerned? And I said to her, well, I can give you a part of the answer. We live in what is called the post-Christian age. Until rather recently, the teaching of the Christian church was respected and taught, even though many people were not Christians nor ever attended a church service. The voice then from certain groups began to protest the teachings of the ethical teaching of the Christian faith. Some of our citizens do not believe in God, they said, and therefore they don't have to hear what supposedly Christians say, he uttered. Others of them come from religious denominations or religious groups that do not necessarily condone what we're saying as to what is right and what is wrong. Then they go on to say that the Christian morals cannot become the absolutes of those who disagree with our faith in the Christian church. So in a post-Christian society, each person can determine for himself or herself what is right and what is wrong. As I finished my little dissertation, the nurse called her into the doctor's examining room. And as she went on the way, I wondered what her blood pressure reading would be on that day. She was certainly very upset. With this conversation fresh in my mind, I sat at home one evening reading Charles Colson's book, How Now Shall We Live? Some parts of that book I have read and reread. Talking about life in this post-Christian age, Colson writes, across the country, a generation of college graduates have marched off the platform with degrees in their hands and a post-Christian theology in their heads. These graduates will work in executive suites, political centers, and the editorial rooms of newspapers, magazines, and television studios. They plant ideas in people's minds until, in the words of Richard Weaver, ideas have consequences. Plant an idea, and you don't know what's going to happen. Plant an idea for the good, and you see marvelous things happening. Plant an idea for the bad, and you see terrible things happening. Now then, it went on, and one night I was watching television, and here they had a very distinguished journalist. And during the course of this panel discussion, this journalist made a statement that sent a chill, a cold chill, running up and down my spine. For this is what he said. They were talking about terrorism, by the way. The journalist said, "We," referring to the American people, "can handle terrorism." Now, that was something that I hadn't heard for a long time, if ever. He goes on to say, in the terrorist attack on September 11th, 3,000 people died. We kill that many on our highways month after month. After all, we do have 285 million people in our nation. Now, in fairness to this panelist, he said the terrorist acts on September 11th was a crushing blow to families and friends of the victims. It had killed one of their loved ones, and the journalist showed some feeling himself. I do not want to present him as a cold-hearted person. I think he could feel with these people. But he did plant a seed in my mind. Maybe it's only my mind. Maybe I misinterpreted him, but I don't think so. And if I didn't, I believe that that seed that he planted is bad. Each one of those 3,000 people who died on that day were precious and important to God Almighty. And not one of them can be considered unimportant. We live with terrorism, though the numbers they kill may be small in comparison to our population. We cannot live that way. We cannot live seeing life snuffed out in a way that we saw it on September 11th. Why? Why do we feel so strongly? Because people are tremendously important where the Christian faith has had its way for a long, long time. You remember, I'm recalling it from memory, so some of the details may not be quite correct. But it was after Douglas MacArthur had been fired by President Truman that he reported to the president, "I hope that you will never try to fight a war again in the Pacific with foot soldiers." He went on to explain why. He said, "You see, where the Western civilization has been, there the Christian faith has been strong. And we have learned how important and precious men, women, boys, and girls are. That is not necessarily true in some of the other religions and ideologies that surround us in this world. Life is cheap, and they are willing to sacrifice it in greater numbers than are we who have been under the influence of the Christian faith." In other words, Douglas MacArthur went on to say that there is a theological matter here in the fighting of wars and the values of human beings. Now you may say, "Well, who says so?" And I go on to say to you today, God says so. And you may say, "But your God is not necessarily my God." And you have a right to say that. But remember, friend, the Christian church is a mouthpiece for God Almighty. And we speak in his name, whether a person believes it or not. Let me just tell you from the Word of God what our Heavenly Father has said about the human being. If you turn to the first chapter of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, and verse 26, you read, "Then God said, let us make man," meaning male and female, "in our image." In other words, we are created in the image of God. This does not mean that physically we look like God. God does not have a body. But some of the characteristics that are found in God are also in us, in one way or another. We have a mind with which we can think. We have a will with which we can make a decision. And we have a soul that is eternal. And that when the body has spent its time here on this earth, that soul enters into eternity. We are precious and important in God's eyes. He created us. Read the third chapter of Romans, verse 23. And that very specifically, he describes who we are. We're sinners. Not just imperfect people. Not just some people who make a mistake. We are all sinners, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Our Heavenly Father, who is perfect, can have nothing to do with sin. And therefore, the human being is isolated from God. But God would not have it that way. And so he sent into this world his only begotten Son. You remember that passage that you might have read, might have learned way back as a boy or a girl? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here you have God in action. God loves that individual person. He loves you and he loves me. And for that reason, he sent his Son into this world, the Lord Jesus Christ, who took upon himself the sins of every individual, yours and mine, and every person's, and died on a cross as a sacrifice for that sin. Now then, if we will, by the grace of God, receive him as our Savior and our Lord, he will grant us the forgiveness of our sins and the promise that we will live with him forever in the kingdom of heaven. But during that time that we are here on this earth, he has a job for us. And he says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, you are to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. God makes his appeal through this world through you. Think of it. To be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Now you put these things together, friend, and what do you have? You have a person who has been created by God, and when he fell in sin, God did not throw him out, but God sent his Son into the world to redeem him. He's a loving God. And Jesus dies at the cross of Calvary for your sins and mine, that we can be forgiven, restored into fellowship with God, and used by him to build the kingdom of God and to bring the message of Jesus Christ to the world of which we are a part. Then go and read what Jesus said in that Matthew 18 passage that I read for you earlier in the program. It comes down to this very thing. He's talking about the sheep. There are 100 sheep in the fold. 99 of them has stayed at home. One had wandered away. What does a shepherd do? He leaves the 99 and goes out to find the one that had wandered off. The reason is this: your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. And it doesn't matter how many millions or billions of sheep he had. The thought of one perishing, the thought of one dying needlessly, is offensive to God Almighty. No, the United States of America can in no way, friend, can in no way live with terrorism. And that we must remember. So listen, listen carefully. When we give up the absolutes, when we go into a post-Christian age that knows nothing about Jesus Christ or cares less about him, then remember this, we lose the preciousness of God. And then, no longer are we so concerned if 100 or 1,000 die here or there. Take heed according to the word of God. Every individual is precious and important. Amen.
Fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's program will strengthen you in your daily walk with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit radio ministry supported by financial gifts from you, our listeners. Your gifts help us measure on which radio stations we should continue to broadcast. Please mail your tax-deductible donation to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. We are grateful for your support. Estate gifts have become an important part of our yearly budget. Each year, over $100,000 from estate monies goes to buy radio time on our 31 radio stations across the nation. We thank our loyal listeners for planning ahead to make this final gift to our ministry. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.